and now Evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter. I don't know if it's a true story, but it leaves a powerful message behind. A man was the operator of a drawbridge in which passenger and freight trains crossed many times a day. Between the schedules in which they would pass, he would lift the bridge and he would allow boats to come and go as they pleased. His son came in to visit him one day at work at about 2:30. And his son played and enjoyed so much visiting his father. It came near 3 o'clock. The 3:05 train was due in just a few minutes. And the man began to hunt for his son. He couldn't find his son and he began to hunt frantically. Finally, he found his son. At the same time, he saw his son down in the cogs and the huge cables that operated the drawbridge. He also heard the whistle of the 3:05 train. And he had to make a split decision at a precise moment. What would he do? Would he pull the lever, lower the bridge, kill his son, and save the lives of hundreds on that passenger train? Or would he not? Save the life of his son and allow those hundreds to die. He pulled the lever. The bridge lowered just in time for the 3:05 train to cross. He looked into the windows and children were eating ice cream. Men were reading newspapers. Women were talking and visiting with one another. And he clenched a tight fist and tears flowing down his face. He screamed to the top of his lungs, "I gave my son for you. I gave my son. Don't you care? Don't you care? Don't you know that there's been times that God surely must have shaken his fist and looked down upon mankind and said those same words? Tonight, we have just heard the greatest gift ever given to man. The gift of Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Why? Why would God ever give such a gift? Brethren, you and I can live and give our entire life to Jesus Christ and to God, and we can't surpass that gift. Why would anyone give such a priceless, precious gift as a perfect son? He tells us why. As a matter of fact, every one of you probably can quote the reason why. Quote with me in your mind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, brethren, this morning we looked at some of the things that God expects in our contribution and our giving. But look this evening at the motive. The motive for all of our giving is love. God gave us that example. God gave the greatest contribution that any of us will ever give. And He did it, why? Because of love. There's another Bible example that's very powerful. It's one that you and I have heard ever since we were small children probably. But yet it's one that usually love is not emphasized in this, but yet it should be. There where you have your Bibles open to Luke the 10th chapter, beginning in verse 25, we see a lawyer that probably is trying to trap Jesus. We don't know for sure, but he comes to Jesus and he asks, "How can I have eternal life?" And his answer is, "Well, you know the law, don't you?" And of course, this lawyer knows the law, and he says in verse 27, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all of thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus says, "You're right." And then the lawyer, maybe in an effort to trap Jesus with technicalities, maybe in just mere questioning, he says, "Jesus, who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Is your neighbor the one that lives right next door to you? Is your neighbor the one that lives a few doors down? Who is your neighbor?" And Jesus says, "Let me tell you a story." And we see that story in verse 30. There was a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among the thieves. They ripped his raiment off of him. They wounded him and they left him half dead. Here comes a priest by. notices him and passes by on the other side. The Levite comes by, notices him, and passes by on the other side. But then there came a Samaritan. Now remember, in this day and time, the Samaritan is one that is considered the outcast. The Samaritans are the ones that the Jew will find no association with whatsoever. And the Samaritan, now we call him the Good Samaritan, stops. Why? Everyone look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Compassion. Well, Samaritan, what happens when you have compassion upon a man that's been wounded? You stop. You do all you can for those wounds. Pour oil and wine in them to try to heal them in some way. He took and he set that man on his own beast. Led him down to an inn, took care of him all of that night, and the next day he went and paid the bill, and then said to the innkeeper, I'll pay more if it's needed. Just let me know. Then Jesus turns, and we see there in the latter part of the chapter, in 36, he says, Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Brethren, the greatest contributions that are ever given are those that are made because compassion is given first. Because love is given first. You and I should never give a contribution on Sunday without first giving love to the Lord God Almighty. You and I should never give to replies such as we've heard this evening in the announcement without first giving compassion upon the individual. For you see, gifts that are not based upon compassion many times are meaningless, thoughtless, and do nothing spiritually. But gifts of compassion many times lead others to be even stronger and closer to the Almighty God. If you will, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians. You remember our text this morning was 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. For just a few more moments, let's look at a few verses in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. A few more verses in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And somewhat tie all of this lesson this morning and this one this evening together. And then pray, study, and strive to become exactly what God wants us to be with what He has given us. What would you think if we went to an area that had been suffered a disaster such as a hurricane as recently? And we went to that area, say in Florida, and we said to them, now we know that you have been devastated, but there's also another hurricane over in Louisiana, and we would like for you to gather up relief and send to those in Louisiana. Can you imagine? We kind of shake our head and that doesn't make any sense. Brethren, that is somewhat what happens here in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. In 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, in verse 1, he addresses the brethren of the churches of Macedonia. Now notice how he describes these brethren in verse 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So Paul says, here is a section of congregations that are suffering poverty, and they gave liberally of their poverty. And they even did it with joy. Brethren, how can that be? How can there be those that were poor and gave liberally of their poorness and were happy about it? I think the key lies, well, in all of these verses, but to pick out a few main points. Verse 5, And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Brethren, all giving to the Lord should begin first by giving all of ourselves. You see, I should give all of my life to God. The lawyer said, I know the first command. What is that? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the entire man. That's all of us. I should strive to give my family to God. I should strive to give my children to God in the way that I rear them. I should strive to give my job to God in the influence that I am. I should strive to give my spare time to God. I should strive to give my time in which I'm diligent in effort to God. All that I do should be given to God in that it is in harmony with His will. And once I have given my entire being to God, then I will find ways to give even of my poverty and be happy. Notice what Paul says in verse 8. Speaking to them, he says, I speak not by commandment. In these two chapters, Paul urges and emphasizes, if you'll remember this morning, he said it by saying, don't give grudgingly or of necessity. Here he says it, I'm not saying it of commandment, he says, but by occasion of the forwardness of others to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, you've proved your love, sincerity of your love, by the tremendous way that you have given. In 2 Corinthians of the 9th chapter, in verses 6 and 7, the text for this morning, remember verse 6 talks about if we sow sparingly, we'll reap sparingly, sow bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. Verse 7, every man according to as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now with those things in mind, and with love being the reason why we give all, and with giving ourselves first, notice the wonderful security we find in this type of giving. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, brethren, that sums up the entire day. Why do all of this? Because if we'll do it, we'll always have everything we need to do everything that is good. What more could we want out of life? What more could you want out of any action than to be promised the reaction of being taken care of in every good thing in life? And that's what God promises. If we give all of ourselves, and remember, all of our giving should be liberal, should be not sparingly, but bountifully. As we close, let's look at the way Paul closed these two powerful chapters in 2 Corinthians. I encourage you this week to read over 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. But let's look how he closes these thoughts about giving. Quite simply, in verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Indescribable. What is that? It's that gift we spoke about in the very beginning of the lesson. The gift, the most precious gift ever given. Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And Paul closes a few chapters about giving by saying, God, thank you for that awesome demonstration. You and I should learn better how to give, just by looking and learning from God. There's so many things in our life. As a matter of fact, every area of our life can be improved if we just look to God. This evening, are there areas in your life that as you look to God's Word and you look to your life, you see a contradiction? God's Word is never wrong. Look closely. Study hard and long. Meditate upon God's Word and meditate upon your life and make the changes that are needed to be in harmony with God's Word. If we can help you with any of those changes, if you need to confess sins and repent of those sins and ask for forgiveness of the church and the Lord, we want to pray with you. If you've never come to Christ on His terms, we want you to do that tonight. If we can help you in any way, let us.